Okay, so we're holding down between Purim and Pesach. So let's try to bridge together these two Gevaldik Yom Tovim, especially because Chazal tell us, and many make the mistake in this regard, that the Nes of Purim took place on Pesach. We celebrated in Adar, because that was the time that wiped out our enemies. But the actual Yeshua took place on Pesach, as the Medrash implies, Shomer Mitzvah Lo Yedid Avara, Pasuk in Koheles, he who is keeping to a mitzvah won't know anything wrong. Ze Esther Hamalka, Shahaista Asuka b'mitzvahs bir chametz. Esther was being oisir in bir chametz. She had to clean out the palace of the king, that's where she lived. But of course, in Pniyin Mis, what that means is that she was being oisir in bir chametz, dahainu hamun ubanav, that's called chametz, right? That's the real chametz. So try to explain a little bit the oimek of this connection between Purim and Pesach. And there's a very important comment of the Kedushas Levi, which we'll see in a moment. But some other questions just to put onto the table. And we speak about this a lot. Charvona is not just an ordinary officer in the house of Achashverosh. Chazal say Charvona zochel atoiv, Eliyahu zochel atoiv. So anytime we find Eliyahu, we need to understand Charvona. Charvona. Charvona was the one who suggested to hang Haman and his 10 sons on the tree. The Chazal say that Charvona is really Eliyahu. It's not just Charvona, that's Eliyahu. He was disguised as Charvona, which is one of the reasons why we wear masks on Purim, is because everybody's dressing up, even Eliyahu is dressing up. It's the master of disguise. So anytime we see Eliyahu, we have to ask ourselves, what are you doing here? What brings you here? It doesn't just come stamazai. It's something which needs to be done in order to merit the coming of Eliyahu. That's Aleph. Secondly, we have a very interesting Gemara. Gemara in Megillah tells us, that one year, Rabbah and Reb Zeva were having the Sudas Purim together, and it got very freilach, and Rabbah had a lot to drink. So the Gemara says, Shachte Rabbah the Reb Zeva. Rabbah got up, and he shachted Reb Zeva. Killed him. So the Mashal says it doesn't mean literally. But anyways, that's what the Gemara says. The next year, they wanted to get together again, and Reb Zeva says, it's okay, one time is enough. Hashem doesn't make Nisim like that every year. But what's the aimik of this inyan called Rabbah Shachte the Reb Zeva? What's the oimek of this? Let's try to explain that. In another Gemara, and we'll see how we're going to get there, the Gemara discusses the concept of mitzvahs tzichas kavana or mitzvahs einas tzichas kavana. It comes up many times in Shas. When a person does a mitzvah, he does the action, does he have to have in mind that he's mekayim the mitzvah to fulfill the mitzvah? So one of the more common examples the Gemara refers to is hatokeh l'shir. If a person is blowing a shofar on Rosh Hashanah, as an instrument, not to be yotze the mitzvah, but he's blowing tkiyas, truas, and shvarim, and he doesn't have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah, but he's blowing shofar. Is that a fulfillment of the mitzvah? So it's a machlokas tanaim, machlokas amaraim. And another example would be, if a person is laying the Megillah on Purim, just as kriyas hatayra, liman hatayra, but not as kriyas and Megillah, does he fulfill the mitzvah? Or, if he eats matzah on Pesach, and he doesn't realize that he's eating matzah on Pesach, or it's being stuffed down his throat, doesn't have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah, do we say he's mekayim the mitzvah anyways because mitzvahs einas tzichas kavana, or do we say no, mitzvahs tzichas kavana? If you want to get a check up in Shemaim, you have to have intention to fulfill the mitzvah of Hashem. So we'll see how this comes into the equation. And the Radvaz in the Shalos and Tshuvas, he asks a stir on the Rambam. The Rambam seems to paskin mitzvahs tzichas kavana. Yet when it comes to achilas matzah, if a person is coerced into eating matzah, the Rambam paskins, he's yotze the mitzvah, mitzvahs einas tzichas kavana. He does not need intention. So how do we resolve this contradiction in the Rambam? So let's begin with the Kedushas Levi. Kedushas Levi says, Vayetze Haman b'yom ahu sameach v'toiv lev. That Haman went out on that day, sameach, he was very happy, and also with a good heart. So in fact, the Kedushas Levi asks the question, since when do we find such gevaldik l'shoynes on Haman HaRasha? Sameach v'toiv lev? These are the shinest, these are expressions which are used for the Kedusha, not for a Rasha, not for the Sitra Achra. Sameach v'toiv lev. What type of a shbrach is that? So he says something unbelievable. He says, and we're going to kind of paint the picture a little bit more, fill in the blanks of what he's saying. He says, the whole kitrik, the accusations against Bnei Yisrael at that time came because why? They partook of the Suda of Achashverosh, which means that they were okay with the fact that they were eating with Goyim, although everything was kosher l'mahadrin, but the Medrash says they ate bishulei akum. It was cooked by a Goyim. And that created a very big kitrug and accusation against Bnei Yisrael. So we know that in order to make a tikkun for an aveira, you have to do it ba'ifin zeh. That has to be in the reverse of what was done. So says the Kedushas Levi, and again we're explaining a little bit more on what he's saying. So what was the remedy? Esther invited Haman Achashverosh to come and to sit together and to have what to eat. So who prepared that food at the Suda of Achashverosh? Haman Harash did it. He was the Rav HaMachshir, so to speak, and he made sure that everything, all the ingredients are kosher to Mahajan, but he's cooking the food. At this food of Achashverosh, of Esther Hamalka, Esther was preparing the food. And she prepared it with her holy hands and with her holy kavanas. And in doing so, in feeding that to Haman, she was able to detach him from that connection which he had to the Sitra Acha, to the Klipa, to where he was doing all that evil, to bring him into a bit of a realm of the Kedusha. And Mamela, this is the beginning of the downfall of Haman HaRasha. That's what the Kedusha Levi says. Behar Rai says it's a beautiful Rai. After this whole incident, it says Haman gets all upset again. He thinks about Mordechai, he can't handle it, he can't take it. Vayisapa Haman. It says that Haman contains his anger. Since when is Haman able to contain his anger? It says the Kedusha Levi, you know why? Because since he had the food, the holy food of Esther Hamaka, he was able to contain himself. Already you see the transformation of Haman HaRasha immediately after that. So I want to add the following thing to Siyat HaDishmai. This was taking place on Pesach. And we know that Mordechai HaTzadik was Goyzer. No mitzvahs of Pesach this year. Nobody's eating matzahs, nobody's drinking dalad kaisis. They probably sat by the Seder and they did all the simanim, but matzah and dalad kaisis was off the table. Why do I say that they were Makan the mitzvah of Sipur B'tzias Mitzrayim? Because the Bnei Yisachar says that there's a skula, that if you want to bring down a Rasha, speak about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Because in the same way that Hashem took down Paro, just by saying the words, it's ma'ayre that to happen again. So certainly they were dealing with a Haman, who was no less than a Paro. And they spoke about Yitzias Mitzrayim because they wanted to awaken the Yeshua of Mitzrayim. After all, it was Pesach time. But the Matzah and the Dalet Kaisis, they didn't touch. Vayava Mordechai, and Mordechai called it off. You know what probably happened? Mordechai and Esther, they saved a little bit of their matzahs and the dalad kaisis. And Esther brought it to the table. And she gave Haman to have of the matzah and to have of the wine. Yeah, that was the holy Kedusha.
Wouldn't have been Yayin Nesef if she's giving them to have the wine.
No, he's not going to. It's only Yayin Nesef if she drinks from his wine. Not if he drinks from her wine.
Wine. So basically, to drink with the guy is okay.
Well, it needed to make a tikka.
Okay.
So the Zayar says matzah is a lashon matzah umariva, to do melchama against the sitrach, to do melchama against the rishon. So she gave matzah. And what wine did she give? She probably gave him wine of the makos wine. You know the makos wine? You dip your finger in or you pour it down into the thing. There's a story with the Shpala Zayda that a chassid once came to him and he said, I'm having bad luck in my business, in my wine business. So he gave him a bottle and he says, this is not for you. You put this away for a good day. To make a long story short, anyways, there was a pirate who came in and he put him at gunpoint. He was taking all of his wine and he was getting thirsty. Give me something to drink. So he took out the makas wine that the Shpala Zayda gave him, gave it to the Rasha, and he died on the spot. That's what happened. So she probably gave him matzah and she gave him the makas wine. And that's what took out Haman HaRasha. Or you could say another pshat. And this goes back to the Yisrael we were working with last week and we spoke about many times. The Vart of the Tzaddikim. Ki higila meshehu Yehudi. That really, the Pshat and Pasuk is not that Haman was infuriated because he was saying, Mordechai was saying, I'm not going to bow down to Haman because he's a Jew. It's the other way. Mordechai was saying about Haman that Haman is a Jew. Haman is a Jew. How can Haman be a Jew? So we explain, based on the Tzaddikim, that Mordechai purchased Haman HaRasha as an Eved. The Gemara gives a very short story, but the Medrash elaborates that Haman had ran out of food and sold himself as a slave to Haman, to Mordechai. Haman was a Jew, because an Eved Kenani, a Gentile who makes himself into a slave of a Jew, is a Jew, and is chayiv in all the mitzvahs that a woman is chayiv in. So if that's the case, that Haman was a Jew, look what happens. Look at the scenario, we take a step back. What's happening here? Mordechai and Esther, they call off all Achidas Matzah and Dalet Kaisis for that year. Yet, Mordechai, Esther really, brings to the table to give Haman matzahs and dalad kaisis to drink. Because he's chayv in mitzvahs. Even he's chayv in the mitzvahs. There's only one Jew in that year who fulfilled the mitzvahs of matzah and dalad kaisis that year. And that was Haman HaRasha. He was the only Jew to fulfill the mitzvahs. You know what type of a hisayrus that made in Shemayim? You know what they were saying? Who's keeping the world alive? Haman HaRasha. What was the intention of Mordechai and Esther? That Hashem was chalishing for the mitzvahs of Bnei Yisrael on the Pesach night. Mordechai and Esther, we're not giving it to you this year. If you want the Jewish people, make sure you intervene. All of a sudden, there's a light, and all the oil mice are shining. Everybody's looking down. Who's eating matzahs? Who's drinking the alakoisis? Haman HaRasha. He made the whole world lichtig. It was on his account that there was a Yeshua for Bnei Yisrael. See, you know, it's fascinating thing. Haman was geizer a teichecha against Bnei Yisrael. And he was the one who reverted the Gzeira. What's interesting is that I say those words literally because the Teichecha it says, Tachas asher le'evadata Hashem alokecha v'simcha v'tuv levav. Because you don't serve Hashem with simcha and tuv levav, that's why I bring the Teichecha Hashem. So you see that simcha and tuv levav is the antidote for a Gzeira called Lahashmid. Ad Hashmidam, it says many times in the Teichecha. What does it say here? Vayetzi Haman bayomahu sameach v'tayv lev. The same words, simcha v'tuv levav. What does that mean? What is that telling us? What does it mean to do mitzvahs for simcha v'tuv levav? The Arizal says it means that doing mitzvahs has to be your greatest joy. What does that mean? That every single Jew has to see himself as a yachid, there's nobody else but him. B'shvili never ha'ilam. Do mitzvahs in a way that you're the only Jew in the whole world. And you're giving a Kadosh Baruch Hu his only nachas. That's what it means b'simcha v'tuv levav. Why does it say about Haman, vayetzi Haman bayomahu sameach v'tayv lev? Because since he created such a simcha in Shemayim called simcha v'tuv levav, that he was the only Jew, literally, who was mekayem the mitzvahs, even in his heart, he was able to feel the pleasure and the simcha and the tov lev that they were experiencing in Shemayim for his mitzvahs.
So why should that be his downfall if everyone else didn't do the mitzvah, he's the only one that did the mitzvah?
So of course, his downfall was a big ticket for him, as we're going to explain. But because he did such a mitzvah, he warranted the savior of the Jewish people, meaning he is from the Jewish people. So in Shemayim, he created such a hisayrus that now the Jewish people should be saved from his own zeirah. But the way that he dies is a very big ticket for him, because as we'll explain, it was Eliyahu HaNavi who's Harbon who comes to kill him. It's a very big schus to die at the hands of Eliyahu HaNavi. So of course, the fact that he was able to reverse his own gzeira was a big hatzlacha for himself, was a big tikkun for himself. Which is like we explained many times, that Rizal says, you have to drink Ad Layada until you say what? Baruch Haman. That's the tikkun of
Haman. Why do we want a tikkun for him? We want him not to have a tikkun.
No. We want every single Jew has to have a tikkun. If you're a Jew, you will not be forgotten. And if Haman is a Jew, and if you understand Megillah that way, even Haman HaRasha needs a tikkun. Every single Jew needs a tikkun. The Arizal explains, even Yeshu HaNaitzi, even Yashka himself will have a tikkun after 50,000 yoivos. But every single Jew has a tikkun. It's not shaykh otherwise. So once you learn Pshat Megillah, that Haman is a Jew, you have to learn that he's a Rasha, and he needs to go down, but he needs to have a tikkun too. That's the secret of the Arizal says. Baruch Haman. There needs to be a bracha to Haman too. That's a soy. You can't say that with a consciousness. You have to be able to say it in a way where you're unconscious. Ad lo yadu, you can say such a thing. But every single person has it. Let's develop this bite. There's more to say about this inyan, especially because it's in the teachings of Eliyahu Navi that he explains the Mishnah Sanhedrin at great length in Tanah Develio. B'shvilei nevar ha'olam, every single Jew needs to know how important his avodah is to Hashem, how precious it is. Every single Jew is a yachid. And really, every single Rasha has a kinna for the tzaddik, that the tzaddik is what's called the yachid in the world. And here Mordechai gave Haman his opportunity to be that yachid. Like it says in the Megillah about Mordechai, it's darshan in Chazal, Al tikra Yehudi el yachidi. Mordechai was a yachidi. And Mordechai was makana, the dag of levadai, and I'm skipping because we have to rush a little bit. But here Mordechai gave Haman his heart's desire, which is what? You want to be the man? You want to be the only one? You want to be the tzaddik of the generation? Now's your chance. You're the only yid to eat matzah and to do dalek chayis this year, and you're going to create the Yeshua for Bnei Yisrael from your own gzeira. That's what happened. Now, do you think that it's going to go easy? That Haman is going to come to the Suda? Esther is going to slap down a piece of matzah on Pesach and he's going to eat it? He was no fool. Gemara says that he knew the Jewish calendar. He told Achashverosh that these Jews, every single day is a party. They say every day is Shabbos Hayom, Pesach Hayom, every day is Pesach. He knew the Jewish calendar. He knew especially when Pesach was. So here he sees matzah. He has such a sin for Bnei Yisrael. He's going to eat that matzah? How in the world did they get Haman to eat the matzah? So listen to this Gemara. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, when she's discussing the sugya, mitzvah tzichas kaman, mitzvah tzichas kaman, the Gemara says, if you force somebody to eat matzah, he's yoy to the mitzvah. What's the case, says the Gemara? If you're going to tell me that there was a shade, a shame came and it forced him, or he was like a shade, which means, but the Gemara means like he had what we would call today a bipolar disorder. Like sometimes he's a shade and sometimes he's not. Like sometimes he's on the evil side, sometimes he's on the good side. Well, it depends. When he's sane, so he'll be yoy. If he's not sane, then he won't be yoy. What's the case, says the Gemara? Gemara says, Parsim came and they forced him to eat it. So the question asks, what do you mean Parsim? What, they're the big bad bullies, the Parsim, the Persians, that you have to blame it on them? Parsim, what if a Yid came and forced them to eat? Would it make a difference? So perhaps Shad is like this. The Gemara is not just telling you a theoretical case. It's teaching you a Maisa Shehoya. This was the case. There's a guy named Haman. He's a shade in Yehuda, and I'm not going to right now what it means that he's a shade. But you know that Mordechai had a shlita on the Shaden because the Zohar says that Achashverosh never touched Esther. He sent the shade instead of Esther. But you see, Mordechai had shlita on the Shaden. Haman himself was a shade. Again, I'm not going into it. But that can't be the case, says the Gemara. The Parsim came and they forced him to eat. Who was the king of Madai and Paras? Achashverosh. They were living in that place. They were living in Persia. They were living in Paras. So when the Gemara says, Kafuhu Parsim, the Parsim came and they forced him to eat it. That's the case of Haman HaRasha. That's where the Gemara establishes that case. The officers of Achashverosh came and they said, you're not going to eat what the Malka gives you to eat. Esther gives you food and you don't eat it. And they stuff it down his throat. That's what happened. And even if he doesn't eat it, Haboleya Matzah Yatzah, you don't even have to chew it. Even if you swallow it, you're Yoytzei LeMitzvah. And that's exactly what happened to Haman HaRasha. Like it says by the Seder, that even the Rasha comes to the Seder. How did Esther even know she could invite Haman to the Seder? Quote-unquote, to eat from the matzah and from the apikoyim and from the dalek kois. How did she even know? Well, you invite the Rasha to the Seder, and it says, hake is shuna. Why does he blunt his teeth? Because he's not supposed to eat the matzah. Why should the Rasha eat from the matzah? But if he pushes himself and he swallows the matzah, he's yaitzeh, and that's his tikkun. If he's maizeh and nefesh, tikkun. And that's exactly what happened here. Esther set it up so perfectly that the king should be there, so Haman couldn't say no. The Parsim came, and they forced it down his throat. I venture to say that Parsim, that was Eliyahu Navi himself and his gangsters, so to speak, Eliyahu and his men, they forced him. Parsim is Gematria, Eliyahu is a Cholatoiv. Or maybe Eliyahu HaNavi is a Cholatoiv. Anyways, it's a Miramis and Eliyahu HaNavi. Just like Chavona came and said, put him on the tree, probably came and he stuffed the matzah down his throat too. But look upon him, that's pshat you could say in Pasuk. It says, Vayetzei Haman, Bayemahu, Sameach B'Tayvle. What's Vayetzei Haman? Haman went out, right? But Vayetzei could mean that he's Yoytzei the mitzvah. Like we find. Bola matzah, yatza. Kafo'o v'ocho matzah, yatza. Yatza is a lashon, you're Yoytzei the mitzvah. Vayetzei Haman. Haman was Yoytzei the mitzvah. And therefore, Sameach B'Tayvle. That's why he was so happy. And again, I think he ate the afikoymen, because you find many tzaddikim, they were poil big yeshuas with their afikoymen matzah. The Barnav HaRav is known for that. It was merapacholim, big yeshuas with his afikoymen. Afikoymen is a Greek word. It translates, or maybe even an Aramaic word, it's a shayla. But if you translate, as the Rishonim do, the word afikoymen into Hebrew, it would go like this. Afiku is a lashon yoytze. Man is mud. So afiku man translates into Hebrew as vayetze haman. So when it says Vayetzei Haman, it means he was Yoytzei the mitzvah. In fact, mitzvah b'miluyoy is gematria Vayetzei Haman, which means that he was Yoytzei the mitzvah. Which mitzvah? Well, afikuman. He ate the afikoman. He was oichel and kaim the mitzvah matzah and pesach.
Sorry to interrupt, but why was it so important that Haman should eat the matzah?
Because he was the one now who created the sisayros and shemayim to knock out the gezeirah.
So he had to eat the matzah in order to knock out the gzeira.
Right, because ha-pesha asa, pesha hita. He was the one who made the gzeira, and now he can reverse the gzeira.
Okay.
So he ate the afikoymen. And to me it's clear that she gave him to drink from the kois of Yerlin Avi Zecholatoy. That's the best kois on the night of the Seder. Many people, they don't drink the kois of Yerlin Avi. Many minhagim hatu. What is the kois of Yerlin Avi? But by every Seder there is a kois. What do you do with that kais? You pour it in the sink afterwards? You should not do that. The Maral says that's a very masugal dika kais. Have that tomorrow when you make kiddush by the daytime. You save it. You save it. You pour it into the other cups. That you're supposed to take that wine the whole year.
Wait, the one that you go
No. The kais of Yerlin Avi in the middle of the table.
Wait, you put that in the beginning of the
Some fill it in the beginning, some fill it towards the end. By Shvarei Chamascha.
Right.
I don't know if we do that.
So you don't do that?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Wait, what are you talking about?
Sure,
you do.
By
why don't you do it?
And by opening
the door.
You have a cup of wine?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
how you're on
Obi's
cars.
The big cup.
You don't have that?
I don't know where that is.
Okay.
You got it. I learned something.
So there you go.
Wait, but let me ask you a question. Where does it say anything that they kept matzah and wine, that Esther just kept it? Because if he said nobody could have it, where do we know that they kept a little bit?
I was explaining that they went through the whole Seder because they were zichar being mekayim sipur tis mitzrayim because they were trying to bring the downfall of Haman. But if they did that, they didn't just you know, part of the whole Seder. They went through the Simanim, but it says, Vayavar Mordechai. He said, there's no eating matzah this year. That's what Chazal said. No matzah. So nobody ate, nobody drank. But they definitely did yachatz and they set it aside. They weren't going to let just all the skulas of those matzahs and the kaisers just go away. They were going to use it.
So it was all there.
It was all there.
All the food.
Nobody was allowed to eat it. But they had mitzvahs still to do, but they didn't eat it. They didn't drink it, but they weren't going to let these were their weapons. They were using these as their weapons against Haman and Russia. That's our greatest weapons, the mitzvahs which we do. So the zikr they had the kois veli nabi, and that's what they gave Haman to eat and to drink. And that's why who comes to hang up Haman? Chayvayna, which is the Leonavi, meaning you drink from my kois. So here I am. Baharaya, it says Chayvayna echad min hasarisim. One of the officers, Chayvayna echad min hasarisim. Echad min hasarisim is gematria kois Eliyahu zecholatoy. Why did Chayvayna come? Because Haman took up his kois. If you take up my kois, I'm trying to come help you. Mm-hmm. If you drink from my kois, you're going to have Yeshua for me. So if Nafi came in from the kois Eliyahu zecholatoy, that's what happened. That's who came. So let's go back to the questions we said before. We said, Vayetzi Hama Bayamu Samech Batayv Lev, and as the Kedushas Levi explained it, so there was a Givaldic Hesideris because he ate from the Afikaimen, he had from the Kais Yelionavi Zacholatayv, Samech Batayv Lech, that's what reverted the Teich of Haman HaRasha. That's Yelionavi is there. Shachat Rabbal Reb Zeira. What does that have to do with anything? So if you take a look at the Gemara there in Rosh Hashanah, where it speaks about Mitzvah Tzichas Kavana, Mitzvah Einas Tzichas Kavana, so it's a Machlokas Tanaim Amorai. But the mandamar who says mitzvahs einas tzichas kavana is Rabbah. The mandamar who says mitzvahs tzichas kavana is Reb Zeira. So normally we pass like Reb Zeira, mitzvahs tzichas kavana. But here by Purim, and the Purim is the Shoresh of Pesach, shachte Rabbah Reb Zeira. Rabbah who says mitzvahs einas tzichas kavana overrides Reb Zeira who says mitzvahs tzichas kavana. Why? Because the whole Tikkun of Haman is totally in that. The whole Nes of Purim is totally in that. That's why shachat Rabbah Reb Zeira. The mandamar who says mitzvahs einas tzichas kavana, which is Rabbah, he wins. Kofu Parsim. Parsim came and they forced Haman. Haman didn't have that kind of mitzvah. But if you force him, and even according to some cheetahs, even if you have in mind not to, your gufa don't want to fulfill the mitzvah, if you eat it, you're still mekayim against your will. That's Shachtei Rabbah Reb Zeira. So we'll explain this to you in the Rambam. We said before, the Rambam passes mitzvah tzichas kavana. How come when it comes to matzah, Rambam says, mitzvah seinah tzichas kavana. So b'derech tzachlis, I wouldn't say this is mamish pshat Rambam, but you could say, the Rambam made an exception by matzah. Since the Maisa Shahaya, with Haman HaRasha, and Shach the Rav Reb Zeira, you have to keep that incident. When it comes to matzah, mitzvah seinah tzichas kavana. You have to keep it up. Because you crave him to eat the matzah, bola matzah yatza, that's why bola matzah yatza is gematria Purim. Because the whole shayrish of bola matzah yatza is rooted in the Nesapur.